Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Kurt Woodsmith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, have you destroyed any watches recently with your electromagnetic field?
Not recently, but yeah, I have laid waste to several.
See, now this was a fairly new thing to me. My sister Lucy brought this up to me. She said, "Have you guys ever looked into this idea that some people cannot wear watches because the watches always stop? And you know, they'll try out a wristwatch. Within a few weeks, it stops. Get another one, it stops. And they are essentially a person who cannot wear them for some natural or supernatural reason." But you've been experiencing this your entire life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, I'm not really someone who wears watches, and so when I did wear them, and it's been years now, I would go to put them on, and then they wouldn't work. Fairly recently after I put them on. Now, memory is fuzzy, and I will say that if you don't wear your watches regularly, then you're probably apt to put one on that's going to die. The battery is about to conk out. So yeah. That could definitely be an explanation. But it could be that I have a crazy electromagnetic field radiating outward and just shutting everything down. What do you think?
Well, as we'll discuss, I tend to err on the side of skepticism with all of this. But it's a fascinating topic. Because it is. Because it's... I mean, there's a little bit of science mixed in here, a little bit of pseudoscience, a bit of basic psychology going on.
Yes.
Like one thing that instantly comes to mind when someone says, "Oh, I can't wear watches because when I wear them, they break." It kind of reminds me of someone saying, "Oh, I don't eat spinach because I don't like it." And then you want to ask, "Well, when is the last time you had spinach? Did you have spinach like once when you were five and then you bought into this idea that you don't like it? Or is it like a recurring thing where every time you try spinach, every day you don't like it?" I mean, there's so many factors that come into play with our experience versus our expectation of the world.
It's true. And even though I know better about the watches, I can't help but to sit there and think, "But I even got an oscillating watch, and that one also died." But it's true. That's why I think this is so interesting. And there's a really good observation by Slate writer Juliette Lapiditos in her article, "Really, A Man Can't Become a Magnet," on why watch-stopping, this myth of watch-stopping is so pervasive. She says, quote, "It's both scientific-seeming, since magnetic fields can, after all, interfere with electrical devices, and vaguely magical, since magnetic forces operate invisibly. The best of both worlds for people who aren't entirely satisfied by a materialistic worldview but aren't willing to reject materialism outright."
Yeah, and it's kind of... it's sciencey superstition. You know, mm-hmm. it gives you a, you can sort of fool yourself into believing it because it sounds possible, right? I mean, they're on the surface of things until you start looking a little deeper.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially when you consider that a magnetic field is produced whenever an electrical charge is in motion, right? Mm-hmm. And then,
and we are electrical creatures.
I mean, the
experience of the world that we're having right now, our thoughts, everything. I mean, this is electronic in nature. I mean, essentially, we're a spark inside of a bunch of meat.
It's true, because all of those meat tissues and organs produce specific magnetic pulsations. And so this is creating this biomagnetic field. So, of course, you know, all of this is really interesting material to get into, but in order for us to get into it in the right way, we should probably just do a little 101 overview of the magnetic field, because that in and of itself is amazing, and it's not totally clearly understood by scientists yet.
Right. So, what is the magnetic field? What is it emitted by?
Well, the Earth's metal core, because it's acting like a giant magnet, and it's emanating a magnetic field with two poles, right? You've got your North mm-hmm. Pole and your South Pole. And then these two magnetic poles kind of roughly match where the planet's geographic North and South Poles lie, which mark the axis on which the Earth spins. So everything in between there is creating these magnetic fields.
And as we discussed in the Stuff to Blow Your Kids' Mind video series, I mean, this actually ends up protecting the planet. I mean, mm-hmm. it's highly important just in terms of a very basic life can exist on Earth level. Because not every planet is going to have this. The core situation has to be just right to make it happen.
Yeah, it's really cool because it's kind of like an umbrella. It's shielding us from everything that, you know, deep space and the sun is throwing at us, right? Mm-hmm. Without this, we would be fried meat bags.
Exactly.
We wouldn't have even become
meat bags. Yeah, we
would
have never gotten off the ground.
Yeah. So that's kind of, you know, quick insight in how it's working, you know, at least on our planet. But I wanted to also talk a little bit more about the magnetic field and how humans and animals use them. Because this, again, is something that is still trying to be figured out by scientists. It's still an amazing thing, the magnetic field being able to orient something like the monarch butterfly in
right.
its navigation.
Yeah, butterflies are a great example. Various birds, foxes, animals that use the magnetic field for navigation purposes. And it continues to be, like you say, a fascinating research topic because it's, for the most part, something we don't get on a biological level. I mean, as the research shows, I mean, it's not like these creatures are completely alien and completely dissimilar to us,
mm-hmm.
but they are able to tap into it and use it in a way that we cannot.
Well, there's no one mechanism that you can point to and say,
right.
this is the reason why, say, a bird or a butterfly can use the magnetic field. But there is something called cryptochromes, and these are a bit of a clue for us. These are a class of light-sensitive proteins found in plants and animals.
Flavoproteins, even.
Flavo.
Which sounds delicious, but.
Yeah, in humans, it's found in the retina. The cryptochrome, and it's been, of course, studied in birds and monarch butterflies.
It's very much a part of circadian rhythms as well. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's not something where we can point to it and say, there you go, this is here exclusively for electromagnetic field sensibility.
Yeah, and if you look at it, we're not going to go into it too much because we could do an entire podcast
yeah.
on it, really. But if you look at it in birds, the cryptochromes are really helping to sort of kick off this at the quantum level, this whole process and the light sensitivity and the magnetic field in birds' eyes. And it's these sort of changes that are going on that help to detect whether or not the sun is in this position and the magnetic field is being sensed in this direction. It's really fascinating. But the thing I wanted to get to is Stephen M. Reppert. He is a neurobiologist at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, and his colleagues Lauren Foley and Robert Giger have been studying these cryptochromes. And they futzed around with the genes of a fly, and they found that a fly could detect magnetic fields, but only when its cryptochrome gene was in good working order. So
yeah.
that gave them a clue to say this is really important in the detection of magnetic fields.
And these are fruit flies, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Always a good test subject for various genetic tinkering.
Yeah, so then the researchers subbed the fruit fly's genes for the monarch's genes, and they found the same thing. Okay, then they said, what about humans, of course? So one of the monarch's two cryptochrome genes is similar in its DNA sequence to the human cryptochrome gene, okay, because we have it mm-hmm. as well. So that prompted the idea of seeing whether the human gene, too, could restore magnetic sensing to fruit flies whose own gene had been knocked out.
Yeah, so they're using the monarch butterfly genes to fix this disabled fruit fly. And then they're saying, can we do the same thing? Can we fix the fruit fly with human cryptochromes?
And they did. So that kind of said, all right, if this exists in a monarch butterfly and this exists in fruit flies and this helps them to sense the magnetic field, then certainly there's something going on in the human eye with these cryptochromes and the magnetic field. So this opened up this whole sort of Pandora's box of questions. Ruppert says of the cryptochrome in the human eye, it's beautifully poised to sense light, but we don't know if it has the downstream pathways that communicate magnetic information to the brain. The possibility exists. So the question becomes, are we overstating the cryptochrome and its ability to sense the magnetic field? Or did humans once have a more refined ability to sense the magnetic field with a cryptochrome?
Yeah, and to what extent is it possible that we could in some cases see the magnetic field or at least in some way sense it? And you get into whole other quandaries about the possibility of super seers, people who, you know, can see the world a little differently, see extra colors. What if a particularly gifted artist is actually seeing to some degree this electromagnetism in the world around them?
Well, so I immediately started to think about transhumanism because it's been on our minds a lot lately. And I thought, well, this is one of those things that you would want to tinker with.
Yeah. Why see with our limited vision when you could, you know, completely turbocharge everything to where you can see in the electromagnetic spectrum as well? All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, more on this topic.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
All right, we're back. We're talking about our electronic brains and our meat bodies. We're talking about people who wear watches and claim that their magical electronic properties make the watches stop, maybe even fall off their hands. I tend to imagine it that way, like somebody like Julie trying to wear a wristwatch and it just stops and just falls completely off your hand.
It just bursts, crumbles into flames. Well, I mean, okay, so let's get back to this idea that your brain, your body, is pulsing with electricity.
Yes.
Sort of.
And I mean, it is. I mean, like we said, your thoughts in your head, this is essentially an electronic, situation. Your nerves, I mean, these are electronic signals.
I really liked this description from a writer named Ferris Jabra from Scientific American. He said, your brain is electric. Tiny impulses constantly race among billions of interconnected neurons, generating an electric field that surrounds the brain like an invisible cloud. That's quite poetic. But it does talk to this idea that the brain is enveloped in these countless overlapping electrical fields. And this is generated by the neural circuits of scores of these communicating neurons. And then the idea behind this is that this weak electromagnetic field, because remember, it is weak. This is not a strong EMF here. That this electromagnetic field actually helps the brain's neurons to fire together. So it does serve a purpose here. It's not just sort of generating electricity because it's working so hard.
Right. And then, of course, we live in a world where there are just constantly fields all around us. All the devices in our house, pretty much, increasingly so. And to your point, if when we're capable of stopping a watch with, with one's personal electromagnetic field, where would it end?
Right.
How many other devices do we have on our bodies at any given point these days?
Yeah, you and I were talking about it. I mean, the fact of the matter is that we're emitting pretty low levels of EMF.
Yeah.
So if you're going to destroy a watch with your crazy strong EMF, then you're going to destroy everything else in your path. I mean, right now I wouldn't even be able to record, right? Because
right.
I would be interrupting.
You would just be knocking out everything in the space.
Yeah.
You'd be like an electronic muggle.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, our smartphones, our normal phones, you know, little running devices that people have to keep track of their exercise.
Yeah.
Various other cybernetic enhancements that creep more and more into our daily lives.
But we can't help to think that, you know, maybe, just maybe, there's something going on with this EMF and our own little field that we're creating around us. And I can't help but think of something called the iPod shuffle effect. Actually, I don't know if it's called the effect, but I'm going to go ahead and call it now. And that's this idea that we begin to see, again, the patterns that don't necessarily exist. But if I keep putting that watch on, you know, intermittently over a 7-year period and a different watch and they're not working, then I begin to think or I begin to suspect that perhaps something fishy is going on with my own EMF. Just like if I put my iPod on and it still, it seems to me to play the same 5 songs over and over again from The Sound of Music.
Yeah. I mean, it's similar to the
end. And I'm not kidding.
And then some people attach the added level, like, it's always playing that song when I do this. You get into that area like, oh, well, if you watch, you know, The Wizard of Oz with Pink Floyd playing, that it matches up, that we end up finding the connections and things. I mean, we've talked to this about this before. As humans, we are just always looking for the patterns in things. We're looking for pattern recognition so that we can figure out who we are and what we're doing in this world. And, sometimes we crank it up a little too far.
Well, and we attach meaning to things, right? So in terms of the shuffle for your iPod, for instance, you're attaching meaning to songs that mean something to you emotionally. So that sort of is amped up. So your brain is going to pick out that song, The Sound of Music, the album, for instance, a little bit more because it's tuned in. Because it says, oh, I remember that movie of my youth and this is the song about, I don't know, yodeling over hills, and I get all warm and fuzzy when I hear it. You know, the same thing with an object, with a watch. If I go to put it on, you know, we talked about this with our podcast about objects last week, is that you begin to really ascribe a lot of meaning to things. So you can see why it would be pretty easy to say, I have this going on. In fact, you may have even, if you've ever been suspected that you are a watch stopper, you might even think that you're someone who can turn off and on streetlights just by walking by them.
Yeah, and this is, I feel like we've all had this happen, where you're walking along and you notice, oh, that streetlight went out. Weird. But, and I've never thought, oh, I must have done that. Now, like, it seems like that would be awfully self-centered of me to think, oh, wow, a light just went out. That must have been me. It's the same sort of thing that thinks, oh, that stranger looked over in my direction. She must think I'm handsome. You know, it's like there seems to be a self-centeredness to it, that the world revolves around me and that I'm somehow affecting things in ways that don't really make
sense.
Well,
you know, and if it's late at night and, you know, your heels are clacking against the concrete and you happen to be approaching a streetlight, it's a very dramatic moment, right, when it goes out.
Yeah.
And so you begin to think, oh, what's going on? And not thinking, oh, the sodium bulb is near the end of its life cycle and it's going to, you know, turn on and off.
Well, you know, we put ourselves in the mindset of our primordial ancestor. I mean, when we're trying to figure out if something is a risk or not, if something's a threat, I mean, it's, on one hand, it could be just coincidence, or it could be a sign that something bad's going to happen, and our brains tend to side with the possibility that there is a reason behind it.
It's true. But your brain normally doesn't go like, hey, that's that sodium bulb, that high sodium intensity.
Yeah.
And, you know, the city's been using those lately. But that being said, I don't want to, you know, wholesale poo-poo the idea of EMFs in general, because as you have pointed out, they are surrounding us at all times in various ways. We get this invisible electromagnetic radiation in the form of AM and FM radio waves, visible light, microwaves, cell phone towers, electronics, appliances. Are all radiating
and
an EMF.
Possibly as well our coil spring mattress.
Ah, yeah,
that was an
crazy.
Amazing study that we ran across, and this is from 2010, Halberg Independent Research in Sweden, and also the Karolinska Institute in Sweden, and they were looking specifically at what role our box springs, our Western box springs, may play in electromagnetic fields.
Well, this is
amplifying them, serving as basically an antenna for all the electromagnetic fields around us, and then transferring them directly into our bodies while we're sleeping. And then we spend a lot of time sleeping.
Yeah, I mean, this is a real detective story. That's what I love about this study, is that because they came across this data and they said, why is the cancer rate 10% higher in the left breast than in the right? And this left side bias, by the way, is true for both men and women, and it applies also to skin cancer, to melanoma, okay? But then they found that in Japan, there's no correlation between the rates of melanoma and breast cancer.
Right.
Okay, so they said, why, what could be going on here? So that's when they figured out that, yeah, the coils were actually, and this is, I'm going to go ahead and quote R. Douglas Fields. He's from Scientific American, because I think this, he lays it out really well. He says, as we sleep on our coil spring mattresses in the West, we are in effect sleeping on an antenna that amplifies the intensity of the broadcast FM TV radiation. Asleep on these antennas, our bodies are exposed to the amplified electromagnetic radiation for a third of our lifespans. As we slumber on a metal coil spring mattress, a wave of electromagnetic radiation envelopes our bodies so that the maximum strength of the field develops 75 centimeters above the mattress in the middle of our bodies. So what's going on here? When you're sleeping on the right side, the body's left side will thereby be exposed to field strength about twice as strong as what the right side absorbs.
Yeah, and previous research has shown that men and women both tend to prefer to sleep on their right side, and there are various possible reasons for this. One being that if you sleep on your right side, you're reducing the weight stress on the heart.
Do you sleep on your right side?
The heartbeat is not as loud. Do I sleep on it?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I tend to sleep on my chest at first, and then I go into a hanging recline position from the ceiling. Yeah, I guess I do.
Yeah.
You know, I never really think about it. I tend to wake up one way or the other.
Well, I understand that less pressure on your heart, right? Sleeping on your right side. But the whole thing about not being able to hear your heartbeat.
Yeah. I mean, we live next to a train track. So, I mean, I'm used to that. I'm pretty sure I'm used to my heartbeat. And as for sleep, I mean, I've never been, like, sometimes I'll be sleeping and be like, oh, my leg feels a little weird. Oh, the cat's laying on me in a strange position. But I'm never like, oh, my heart feels like it's a bit weird. Maybe I should shift over so there's less weight on it. I don't know. Hmm. Or maybe I just always go to bed with a heavy heart.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. All right. So you're probably saying, like, what's up with Japan? How did they figure into all this?
Well, futons.
Yes. In Japan, most beds do not have any sort of metal in them. So that's one thing. And then their TV broadcast system does not use the 87 to 108 megahertz frequency that's used in Western countries.
Well, there you go. It's a fascinating notion.
It is. It is.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
So, That's this little tidbit about EMFs. Again, we could go on and on about it because it's fascinating, and that's just one sort of example of how you can inadvertently create a situation with EMFs that could be dangerous. But for the most part, we'd like to think that we have EMFs under control, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Now, I would like to launch in a little more into debunking watch stopping, just talking about some of the other possible reasons.
Squash it.
Just to squash it a little bit. First of all, moisture comes into play, mm-hmm. especially with, you know, your cheaper watches. That's something to keep in mind. It's like, am I a watch stopper, mm-hmm. or watches completely dying on me all the time? And then B, am I swimming with them on? Am I going out in the rain a lot? I mean, there are so many environmental factors. Like it or not, technology can break over time, especially if you're putting it in an environment that is detrimental to the technology.
Also clumsiness, right?
Yeah, just straight up clumsiness. This thing's going on your wrist, you know, and if you're like me, you talk with your hands. If you're like me, you sometimes like just are waving your hands a little bit as you walk down the hallway mm-hmm. and you just completely smash your hand into like a desk or something just out of sheer clumsiness. So of course it's going to break a watch every now and then. Again, especially if you tend to go towards some cheaper models.
Yeah, now see that is building the case against me again because I am a wild gesticulator, right?
Yeah.
So sorry, watches.
And then of course we've mentioned coincidence, the fact that we just end up ascribing some sort of importance to something that is basically just a freak occurrence. But then also there's confirmation bias. And this is the psychological cognitive science idea that basically we have a tendency to search for or interpret information in a way that confirms preconceptions. So you get in your mind, hey, I'm a watch stopper. Then, of course, you're going to think about that every time a watch stops on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, or it gets into the whole magical thinking and weaving superstition in your life. If you go into it with this in mind, then yes, you're going to see those patterns.
Just like if doe, a deer, a female deer comes on your iPod shuffle yet again, it
right.
seems like.
And then there's also a sense that it, you know, might be a self-fulfilling prophecy or something that is essentially subconscious sabotage or psychological reversal. This is basically a situation where your subconscious objective thwarts your conscious objective. And generally it's more based in stuff like on the conscious level, you really want your marriage to work, but on your subconscious, you're working against it. Or on your conscious level, you really want to be successful at work, but subconsciously, you want to destroy it. Most of the studies you look at with this, it tends not to revolve around something as petty as your wristwatch, but, you know, it could possibly explain what's happening.
You want a new watch and you're going to destroy it.
Subconsciously, you hate your watch. Or subconsciously, you want to break stuff. And, hey, your watch is right there just begging for it.
You resent time.
Maybe so. But here's the thing. If people really do have electromagnetic fields that are breaking watches all the time, what they need to do is they need to get themselves an anti-magnetic watch.
Oh, yeah.
And
this is fancy.
Yeah, well, we've had these things around for about 60 years, I believe. Generally, the way they've worked in the past is that you have shielding involved. One of the more popular watches out there that does this is the Rolex Milagos, which actually was developed for scientists working at CERN because there are powerful magnetic fields all around them. They want to know what time it is, so it makes sense. Let's develop a watch that can withstand those pressures. So the Milagos is resistant to 1,000 Gauss, which is a unit of magnetic induction. And to put that in frame of reference, a small iron magnet has about 100 Gauss and a refrigeration magnet has about 50. So again, the existing Rolex Milagauss takes care of 1,000. And there's a new model from Omega called the Omega Seamaster Aquaterra. And this one is really cool as well. Cancels out the field and is resistant to 15,000 Gauss. In other words, you're probably good because you'd have to break one of these things, you'd have to be wearing it through an MRI machine or traveling to a neutron star.
So I'm guessing that the cost of this is going to require Richard Branson dollars.
Well, you know, it's a pricier option. But if you think that you're breaking watches all over the place, then maybe it's what you need to try out.
There you go.
Yeah, or go for the Rolex model. I mean, shop around. Like I said, we've had this technology for years, so an answer is out there if you really think that you're some sort of electromagnetic freak. All right. So on that note, let's call the robot over. And see, here's another example. If you really were putting out some sort of electromagnetic energy that breaks technology, you would have broken the robot ages ago.
Well, he's in a Faraday cage.
Oh, well, okay. He's safe then. All right, Lena writes in and says, "Hi, Robert and Julie. I just listened to your podcast and wanted to write in with a somewhat embarrassing confession." And the podcast she listened to was our Objects of Love
mm-hmm.
podcast about object attachment, etc. She says, "I'm 17 years old, and I still sleep with a teddy bear. His name is Teddy. I've had him since my first Christmas, and I don't think I've ever spent more than two nights without him in my entire life. Sometimes I worry if I will have to take him to college with me, and my roommate will think I'm weird or immature. But I have a really strong attachment to him, and he gives me a lot of comfort. I even gave him a personality and everything. My sister and I used to play with stuffed animals a lot. I doubt that you would find many 11th graders like me around, still sleeping with a teddy bear, but I also have attachments to other objects, and I tend to keep things for the memories, even if I never look at them again. I'm probably not unique in that sense, though. I love the podcast. Keep up the great work, and thanks, Lena.
Cool.
Well, I don't think it's weird at all.
I don't either. Actually, I was thinking that, you know, back to our imaginary friends episode and about how we postulated that, you know, you have imaginary friends when you're little, and then that just gets converted into something else when you get older. Maybe you get an attachment to a certain character on a television show or a movie or a book. But that we tend to have these relationships, these fictionalized relationships. So if it's in the form of a teddy bear, then I say, you know, great. I think that that's not a bad thing. I think that's actually a healthy thing.
Yeah, plus I'm sitting here podcasting with a rubber triceratops in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And my sisters and I, we had still to a certain extent have a rich stuffed animal world that we refer to, the various characters. And we would refer to these characters and have them to some extent interact with each other, like all through high school and college. In fact, up until recently, one of the stuffed ones named Drunk Monkey still lived in the trunk of my car.
See, that makes me pine for Kronja, which was a stuffed ape that my brother and I had when we were little that lived on Marijuana Island.
Oh, how did Marijuana Island enter the fold?
Babysitters.
Yeah. Where is Kronja now?
I don't know. That's always been the mystery. Like, what happened to Kronja? Every once in a while, it comes up every...
Island, I guess.
Exactly. Never to come back. But yeah, that comes up every couple of years. My brother and I will be like, where did it go?
All right. Well, if you have something you would like to share with us, be it prized teddy bears or apes that live in your trunk or on Marijuana Island, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And particularly if you have thoughts about watch-stopping. Do you think you're a watch-stopper? If so, explain yourself. What's your rationale? And what do you think about it now that we've explained some of the properties going on here, both electromagnetic and psychological? Let us know. You can find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Tumblr. We are Stuff to Blow Your Mind on both of those. And we also have a Twitter account where our handle is Blow the Mind.
And you can always drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Kurtwood Smith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take good care, and we'll see you there.